America's founder said clearly that in order for a republic to work, the people would have to be virtuous. For example, John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." But today, it seems like if you're too religious and too moral, you just might run afoul of some of those on the left, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, centered in Montgomery, Alabama. Well, Tyler O'Neill of the Heritage Foundation has written the book, if you will, on the SPLC. It's called Making Hate Pay. And it is all about that organization. Tyler O'Neill now joins us on Vocal Point. Or I should say rejoins us because he's been a guest we've had on a few times. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Tyler, welcome back. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry. Always glad to be here.
You know what? I'd like you to give us a big picture about the Southern Poverty Law Center. I understand they have a lot of money, and a lot of what they do is essentially to undermine or try to undermine the conservative and the, you know, pro-Christian movement as much as they can here in this country. I think they might disagree with the way I just said it, but you tell us the truth.
Yeah, well, it reminds me a few years ago when the SPLC's chief of staff was testifying before Congress, and she said, "The SPLC is not anti-Christian at all." And all of us back home are kind of laughing at that statement, because if you'd seen the way that the SPLC systematically defames conservatives and Christians, especially most notably the Family Research Council, even after a man broke into the family, well, you know, tried to shoot up the Family Research Council with a semi-automatic pistol and a bag of Chick-fil-A sandwiches, based off of the SPLC's hate map, I think that very much undermines their narrative. But, you know, the SPLC, it started as a noble organization. It was focused on giving legal protections, legal defenses to poor people in the South, which is a very noble calling. They had some really good early cases. And then the co-founder of the organization, a man by the name of Morris Dees, had a personal connection to the Ku Klux Klan. And he directed the SPLC away from some of these pro bono cases and towards going after Klan groups in the South. Now, this was the 1980s. So, I mean, we're not talking the 1920s Klan or even the 1950s Klan, where this organization actually had some power. We're talking about a very weak organization and, of course, of hateful white supremacists down there in the South. And the SPLC, many of the SPLC lawyers said that suing Klan groups into bankruptcy was like shooting fish in a barrel. And they actually got rather cross at Morris Dees, and the entire legal team quit en masse in 1986 because they said, "We didn't sign up to fight the Klan. We signed up to help poor people in the South." And so even then, the SPLC had kind of changed what its focus was. But then in the it kind of lost relevance in the 1990s and early 2000s. The SPLC tried to say, "Oh, look, there are these skinheads. There are these other people. You should be paying attention to them. We're monitoring far right hate." And they didn't really get that much pickup. They had previously advised the FBI. And but they were by the 2000s, they were kind of losing relevance. And then they started putting more mainstream conservative organizations on the hate map. And they started going after the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And then, of course, the Family Research Council. And ultimately, they started going after Alliance Defending Freedom. And just last year, they went after the parental rights movement. Pretty much every major parental rights group in America found itself on the SPLC hate map. And this hate map, you know, it's so funny because for many of us who know and have been following this issue for a long time, we know that the SPLC doesn't have credibility and that when they put you on the hate map, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But it's still a very powerful defamation engine because, you know, on Google, if you Google some of these groups, the very first thing that comes up is the Southern Poverty Law Center calls this group a hate group. But also there are a lot of companies and corporations and even legal outfits. You know, the FBI was recently using the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map to target what they called radical traditional Catholics. And so this hate map actually means something. And what it does is it puts these conservative organizations on a map and on a list with chapters of the Ku Klux Klan, with, you know, some of these more aggressive, like, side groups like the Proud Boys, and then with some organizations that barely exist at all, but that the SPLC acts like are serious threats. And what the defamation engine that they have, this hate map, what it really does is it allows them to say, we're relevant, give us money, we're monitoring this movement. And by the way, these conservatives, they may seem like they're buttoned up, they may seem like they care about American issues, really they're driven by hate, and you can cut them off from the conversation. You should make sure that if you're in the financial services industry, you should be cutting these organizations off and not allowing donors to give money to them. If you're in the federal government, you should be looking askew at these organizations and thinking they might represent a domestic terrorist threat. So there are all these suggestions that the SPLC uses to demonize its political and ideological opponents. And the reason why I think it's so important always to come back to this organization and to talk about what they're doing is I kind of see them as the tip of the spear when it comes to the left demonizing the right and trying to silence and delegitimize anybody who disagrees with their opinion. And we see this all over the place, particularly with issues like the transgender issue and issues like immigration, where they try to twist everything and say, look, you're really driven by hate. You're not driven by, you know, following the gospel or by trying to help deal with an issue that is really hurting Americans, like this, you know, the crisis at our border. And, you know, this weapon, you know, the SPLC is a weapon. It's been very, nobody should be taking the SPLC seriously when it comes to their hate accusations. They've had a lot of discrediting scandals, but they're still, you know, the Biden administration apparently reached out to the SPLC for advice on combating domestic terrorism. And so I think the way it is a lot of people on the left, they don't care that this organization is corrupt. They don't care that it had a racial discrimination and sexual harassment scandal as recently as 2019. What they care about is that it's a useful weapon to delegitimize the right.
All right. You mentioned the Alliance Defending Freedom. By way of full disclosure, I work for D. James Kennedy Ministries, the man himself who passed on in 2007. He helped found the Alliance Defending Freedom, this radio station that I'm talking to you from, and the outlets on which it will be placed are all related ultimately to the D. James Kennedy Ministries. And yet we were put on the hate map, ostensibly because we oppose same-sex marriage, not because there's any kind of hate. And it's like, well, this is crazy. But I need to get that out there. Why would the Alliance Defending Freedom be haters? You know, Dr. Dobson founded that. Is he a hater? No, of course not. So it's crazy what's happening. But I think you're right. People need to be aware of this because, like you say, if groups like the Biden administration or some of these corporations give this organization, the SPLC, credence, then we're in trouble as a nation.
Yeah, no, we really are. And I think, you know, I've been talking about this issue for a long time. And I think a lot of conservatives don't take the SPLC seriously because they're like, well, everybody knows that they're this, you know, this delegitimized liberal weapon, you know, outfit that's just all about raising money and smearing people. But it's like, no, people do take them seriously because a lot of them simply don't care. And we're also in such a bifurcated media environment where you can have people. I mean, one of the things that was shocking to me, you know, I'm a Christian and I've grown up reading the Bible and reading the Bible to my children. But it's also like the Bible is a foundational text of Western civilization and of the United States in general. And yet people are graduating from our schools without any biblical knowledge. And so you have some journalists who have these really odd ideas about what the Bible says because they've never read it. And so some of them are talking about, you know, they found Jesus' tomb and it's like, but we know Jesus never had a specific tomb. He was temporarily buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and then he was raised from the dead. So you're not going to find Jesus' body. And they're like, oh, well, did they find Jesus' body? And it's like, no, according to the Bible, he's there. Or like, there's this notion that the Bible says that the Canaanites were entirely wiped out. And this is one of the most bizarre notions, because if you actually look at the biblical text, multiple times God says, you know, God orders someone to conquer a Canaanite town and to wipe everybody out. And then he gets mad. I think it's at King Saul, because he didn't wipe everybody out. And it's like, okay, so what does the Bible say we should find archaeologically here? Well, we should find existence of the Canaanites if the Bible is true, because the Bible doesn't say that they were wiped out. And so you get this basic level of just utter ignorance about what the Bible actually says. And I find it flabbergasting, but it also helps explain why so many people, when they hear that Christians disagree with the LGBT agenda, why they're susceptible to being told that this is based on hate. Because we know that it's not. We know that the reason why we disagree with same-sex marriage, and you know, I also am always careful. I'm like, look, God says that homosexual activity is sinful, but everyone has, you know, every person is impacted by sin differently. And, you know, just being heterosexual does not necessarily mean that you are free from sin. And we have to move away from this notion that, you know, if you struggle with same-sex attraction, that is itself sin. It's not. Heterosexual people struggle from sinful desire too. And like, we have to be, you know, I think.
Sure. And we would condemn polygamy, and we would condemn, you know, promiscuity and so forth. And we do. So you're absolutely right. We have about a minute and a half left. How about a comment in terms of the third word in the title of your book, Making Hate Pay? I understand the Southern Poverty Law Center has a lot of money.
Yeah, it has a $740 million endowment. That's based on 2022 numbers. I'm sure 2023, it's even more. But this organization, it also has thousands of dollars in Cayman Island accounts. I mean, even though it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And there are also complaints that it has faced in the past that it has been abusing its tax exempt status by engaging in electioneering against political candidates, in particular Donald Trump. I wouldn't comment on specifically whether or not they're guilty of that. I'm just noting that this is a concern that people have brought up. I do think it's really noteworthy that
we have about 15 seconds left. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that the SPLC has made a lot of money off of branding people hateful, when really the reason they say they're hateful is because they disagree with what those people stand for.
That is amazing. DailySignal.com for more information. Again, the name of Tyler O'Neill's classic book is Making Hate Pay. Thank you, Tyler. All the best.